spouted incredulously. There is much you still have to learn. Please, sit. Alora gestured to one of the couches, and she lay back on the chaise lounge. There's no need to get huffy with me, princess. We need to talk. I don't want to change my name, I said as I sat down on the couch across from her. I don't know why it's such a big deal to you. Names can't be that important. It's not about the name. Alora waved it off. Her hair flowed out like silk around her, and she played with it absently. I know that you think I'm cruel and heartless, but I'm not. I care very deeply for Finn, more than a queen should care for a servant. And I am sorry that I have been so negligent in the examples that I have set for you. It pains me to see Finn go, but I can assure you that I did it for you. You did not, I yelled. You did it because you were jealous. My emotions played no part in this decision. Not even the way I feel about you factored into this. Her lips tightened, and she stared emptily at me. I did what I had to do because it was best for the kingdom. How is getting rid of him best for anybody? You refuse to understand that you are a princess. Alora paused and took a deep, fortifying breath. It doesn't matter whether or not you understand the gravity of the situation. Everyone else does, including Finn, which is why he is leaving. He knows this is best for you, too. I don't understand. How can his leaving possibly help me? I count on him for everything, and you do too. And now you're telling me you let him go, just like that? I know you think this is all about money, but it's about something more powerful than that. Our bloodline is rich with tremendous abilities, far exceeding the general Trill population. Alora leaned in closer to me as she spoke. Unfortunately, Trill have become less interested in our way of life, and the abilities have begun to weaken. It is essential to our people that the bloodline is kept pure, that the abilities are allowed to flourish. The titles and positions seem arbitrary, Alora continued. But we are in power because we have the most power. For centuries, our abilities outshone every other family's. But the Kroners are rapidly overtaking us. You are the last chance for hanging on to the throne and retaining power for our family. What does this have to do with Finn? I demanded, growing tired of political talk. Everything, Alora answered with a thin smile. In order to keep the bloodlines as pure and powerful as possible, certain rules were put into effect. Not just for royalty, but for everyone. It's not merely as a repercussion for behaving outside of societal norms, but also so half-breed spawn won't weaken our bloodlines. Something about the way she said spawn sent a chill down my spine. Consequences vary in severity, Alora continued. When a Trill becomes involved with a Mainskleeg, they are asked to leave the community. There's nothing going on between Rhys and me, I interjected, and Alora nodded skeptically. While trackers are Trill, they don't possess abilities in the conventional sense. Alora went on, and I began to realize what she was getting at. Trackers are meant to be with trackers. If Trill are involved with them, they are looked down upon. But it is allowed. Unless you are royalty. She looked severely at me. A tracker can never have the crown. Any Marxina or princess caught with a tracker is immediately stripped of her title. If the offense is bad enough, such as a princess destroying an essential bloodline, then they would both be banished. I swallowed hard. If anything happened between Finn and me, I wouldn't be able to be a princess, and I wouldn't even be able to live in Foreatning anymore. That was shocking at first, until I reflected that I didn't even want to be a princess or live here. What did I care? So? I said, and Alora looked momentarily surprised. I know that right now all of this means nothing to you. Alora gestured widely to the room around us. I know you hate this, and I understand. But this is your destiny. And even if you don't see it, Finn does. He knows how important you are, and he would never let you ruin your future. That is why he offered up his resignation. He quit? That's impossible. Finn would never quit. Not when he knew how much I needed him. And he had to know. That's why he stood up for me with Alora. He knew that I would be lost without him, and he couldn't do that to me. It would go against everything he believed in. It's a shame, Alora continued, as if my refusal to believe didn't merit a response. I blame myself because the signs were so obvious. And I blame Finn because he knows better than to get involved. Better than anyone. But I commend him for realizing what the right thing was for you. He is leaving to protect you. There's nothing I need protection from. I got to my feet. He has no reason to leave because nothing's going on. I'm not involved with anyone. I would find that much more believable if you hadn't raced down here with tears in your eyes to plead for his job. Alora replied coolly. Or if he had promised me he could keep things purely business from here on, I would have kept him. She looked down at the chaise, pulling at a loose thread in the fabric. But he couldn't even do that. He didn't even try to convince me. I wanted to argue with her, but I began to realize exactly what she was saying. Finn cared about me, and he'd admitted it to Alora, knowing how she would react. He cared about me so much he had been unable to continue doing his job. He couldn't keep things separate anymore, and he was upstairs packing right now. I would have liked to yell at Alora more, blame her for everything horrible in my life, and tell her that I was giving up the crown. But I didn't have time to waste. I had to catch him before he left, because I had no idea where he would go. By the time I made it to his room, my breath was ragged. My hands were trembling, and that familiar butterfly feeling Finn gave me had spread throughout my body. I was in love with him, and I wasn't going to give him up. Not for anything in this world or the next. When I opened his bedroom door, he was standing over his bed, folding clothes and putting them in a suitcase. He looked back at me, surprised by my appearance. Then the expression in his dark eyes changed to something unreadable. Dark stubble covered his cheeks, and there was something so ruggedly handsome about him, he was almost unbearable to look at. The top few buttons of his dress shirt were undone, revealing a hint of chest that I found strangely provocative.
Are you all right?
Finn stopped what he was doing and took a step toward me. Yeah, I nodded, swallowing hard. I'm going with you.
Wendy.
His expression softened, and he shook his head.
You can't go with me. You need to be here.
No, I don't care about here, I insisted. I don't want to be a stupid princess, and they don't need me. I'm terrible at everything. My leaving is the best thing for everyone.
They do need you. You have no idea how badly they need you.
Finn turned away from me.
Without you, it will completely fall apart.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm just one stupid girl who can't even figure out which fork to eat with. I have no abilities. I'm awkward and silly and inappropriate, and that Kroner kid is much better suited for this. I don't need to be here, and I'm not going to stay if you're not here.
There is much you have yet to learn,
Finn said tiredly, almost to himself. He had started folding his clothes again, so I walked over to him and grabbed his arm. I want to be with you, and I think you want to be with me. I felt sick to my stomach saying it aloud. I expected him to laugh at me or tell me that I was insane. But instead, he slowly looked at me. In a rare moment of vulnerability, his dark eyes betrayed everything they had been trying to hide from me. Affection and warmth and something even deeper than that. His arm felt strong under my hand, and my heart pounded in my chest. Gently, he placed his hand on my cheek, letting his fingers press warmly on my skin, and I stared hopefully at him.
I am not worth it, Wendy,
Finn whispered hoarsely.
You are going to be so much more than this, and I cannot hold you back. I refuse to.
But Finn, I wanted to tell him more, but he pulled away.
You have to go.
He turned his back to me completely, busying himself with packing so he wouldn't have to look at me. Why? I demanded, tears stinging my eyes.
Because.
Finn picked up some of his books off a shelf, and I followed right behind him, unwilling to relent in my pursuit. That's not a reason!
I've already explained it to you.
No, you haven't. You've just made vague comments about the future.
I don't want you,
Finn snapped. I felt like I had been slapped. For a moment, I stood in stunned silence, just listening to the sound of my heartbeat echo in my ears. You're lying. A tear slipped down my cheek. You promised you would never lie to me.
Wendy, I need you to leave,
he growled. He breathed heavily with his back to me, but he had stopped moving around. He leaned against the bookshelf, his shoulders hunched forward. This was my last chance to convince him, and I knew it. I touched his back, and he tried to pull away from me, but I wouldn't move my hand. He whirled on me, grabbing my wrist. He pushed me until my back was against the wall, pinning me there. His body pressed tightly against mine, the strong contours of his body against the soft curves of mine, and I could feel his heart hammering against my chest. He still gripped my wrist, restraining one of my hands against the wall. I wasn't sure what he intended to do, but he looked down at me, his dark eyes smoldering. Then, suddenly, I felt his lips press roughly against mine. He kissed me desperately, like he couldn't breathe without me. His stubble scraped against my cheeks, my lips, my neck, everywhere he dared press his mouth against me. He let go of my wrist, allowing me to wrap my arms around him and pull him even closer. Seconds ago, I had been crying, and I could taste the salt from my tears on his lips. Tangling my fingers in his hair, I pulled his mouth more eagerly against mine. My heart beat so fast it hurt, and an intense heat spread through me. Somehow he managed to pull his mouth from mine. His hands gripped my shoulders, holding me to the wall, and he took a step back. Breathing hard, he looked at the floor instead of at me.
This is why I have to go, Wendy. I can't do this to you.
To me? You're not doing anything to me. I tried to reach out for him, but he held me back. Just let me go with you.
Wendy.
He lifted his hand back to my cheek, using his thumb to brush away a fresh tear, and looked at me intently.
You trust me, don't you?
I nodded hesitantly.
Then you have to trust me on this. You need to stay here, and I need to go. Okay?
Finn!
I'm sorry.
Finn let go of me and grabbed his half-packed suitcase off his bed.
I stayed too long.
He started walking to the door, and I ran after him.
Wendy! Enough!
But you can't just leave! I pleaded. He hesitated at the doorway and shook his head. Then he opened the door and left. could have followed him, but I didn't have any more arguments. His kiss had left me feeling dazed and disarmed, and I wondered dimly if that had been his plan all along. He knew his kiss would leave me too weak to chase after him and too confused to argue with him. After he had gone, I sat down on the bed, which still smelled like him, and started to sob. Chapter 21. The Ball. I'm not sure I had slept at all when Willa burst into my room the next day to wake me for the ball. My eyes were red and swollen, but she made very little comment about it. She just started in on getting me ready and talking excitedly about how much fun it was all going to be. I didn't believe her, but she didn't seem to notice. Almost everything I did required verbal and physical prompts. She even had to remind me to rinse the shampoo for my hair, and I was just lucky that modesty had never been her strong suit. It was impossible to combine fresh heartbreak with the fervor of a ball. Willa kept trying to get me excited or at least nervous about the whole thing, but her efforts were completely futile. The only way I managed to function was by being completely numb. I couldn't understand how this had happened. When I first met Finn, he had seemed creepy, and then he was just irritating. Repeatedly, I had rejected him and told him that I didn't need him or want to be around him. How had it turned into this? I had lived my whole stupid life without him, and now I could barely make it through an hour. I sat on a stool, wrapped in my robe, while Willa did something to my hair. She had offered to style it in front of a mirror so I could see her progress, but I didn't care. Holding a bottle of spray in her hand, she stopped what she was doing and just looked at me. "Wendy," Willa sighed. "I know Finn's gone, and you're obviously taking it pretty hard. But he's just a stork, and you are a princess." "You don't know what you're talking about," I mumbled. I had considered defending him for a moment, but I was kind of pissed that he had left without me. There was no way that I could have left him after that kiss. As it was, it had been torture to stay behind. I just lowered my eyes and tried to close the subject. "Fine," Willa rolled her eyes and went back to spraying my hair. "But you're still a princess, and this is your night." I didn't say anything as she yanked and teased. "You're still young. You don't understand how many fish there really are in the sea, especially your sea. The most eligible, attractive men are going to be all over you, and you're not even going to remember that stupid stork who brought you here." "I don't like fishing," I muttered dryly, but she ignored me. "You know who is a catch? Tuve Kroner." Willa made a pleased sound. "I wish my dad would set me up with him," she sighed wistfully and jerked on a lock of my hair. "He's really foxy, really rich," Willa went on, as if I had asked her to tell me more. "He's like the highest marquee in the world, which is so weird. The Marxina are usually the ones with all the abilities. Guys can do some things, but they pale in comparison to what women can do. Yet Tuve has more ability than anybody else. I wouldn't be surprised if he could read minds." "I thought nobody could do that," I said, amazed that I was even following her. A few weeks ago, nothing she said would have made sense. "No, only very, very few can. So few, it's almost the stuff of legends these days." She gently fluffed my hair. "But Tuve is the stuff of legends, so that makes sense. And if you play your cards right, you'll be pretty damn legendary yourself." She whipped me around so I was facing her and smiled at her handiwork. "Now we just need to get you into your gown." Somehow, while getting me ready, Willa had managed to ready herself. She had on a floor-length, light blue gown that swept out at her hips, and she looked so beautiful I had no hope of topping her. After she had finally gotten me into my own dress, she forced me in front of the mirror, insisting that I look too amazing to not see myself. "Oh, wow. Saying that to my reflection felt egotistical, but I couldn't help it. I had never looked better in my life, and I doubted that I would ever look this good again. The gown was a shimmery silver and white that flowed around me. It was strapless in an elegant way, and the diamond necklace Willa had chosen set it off. My dark curls fell perfectly behind me, and subtle diamond clips sparkled in my hair. "You're gonna rock it tonight, princess," Willa promised with a sly smile. That was the last calm moment of the night. As soon as we stepped out of my bedroom, we were swept off by aides and staff that I didn't even know Allura had. They gave me a rundown of the times when everything was set to happen and where I had to be and who I had to meet and what I had to do. It was already more than I could comprehend, and at least, momentarily, I was spared the dull heartache I got from thinking of Finn. I looked helplessly at Willa, knowing that I would have to try to make this up to her later on. Without her, it would have been completely impossible for me to make it through. First, there was some kind of meet-and-greet in the ballroom. Allura stood on one side of me, and, thankfully, Willa stayed on my other side, taking on the role of some kind of assistant. The three of us stood at one end of the ballroom, flanked by security. A long line of people waited to meet me. Willa filled in the names and titles as they approached. Most of them were famous in the Trill world, but Allura explained that anybody could come meet me today, so the line was absolutely endless. My face hurt from smiling, and there were only so many different ways I could say, "Pleased to meet you," and "Thank you." After that, we went to the dining hall for a more exclusive function. The table only seated 100. That's right, only 100. And with Willa sitting 5 places down from me, I felt lost. Whenever I felt insecure, I instinctively searched for Finn, only to remember that he wasn't there. I tried to concentrate on eating my food properly, which wasn't that easy considering how nauseous I felt and how badly my jaw hurt from the forced smiles. My mother sat to my right at the head of the table, and Tuve Kroner sat next to me on my left. Throughout the dinner, he hardly said a thing, and Allura went about making polite conversation with the current chancellor. The chancellor didn't seem to remember me from the other day when I'd come in drenched from the rain, and I was glad for it. The way he looked at me creeped me out, and I found it impossible to smile at him out of fear I might vomit. "Drink more wine," Tuve suggested quietly. Holding a wine glass in his hand, he leaned in a bit toward me to be heard over the din. His mossy eyes rested on mine briefly before he averted them, staring instead at an empty space across from us.
"It relaxes the muscles."
"I beg your pardon?"
"From smiling."
He gestured to his own mouth and forced a smile before quickly dropping it.
"It's starting to hurt, right?"
"Yeah." I smiled lightly at him, feeling the soreness at the corners of my mouth.
"The wine helps. Trust me."
Tuve took a long drink from his wine, much longer than was polite, and I saw Allura eyeing him as she chatted with the chancellor.
"Thanks."
I took his suggestion, but I drank much more slowly than he did, afraid of inciting the wrath of Allura. I didn't think she'd do anything publicly, but I knew she wouldn't let me get away with anything either. As the dinner wore on, Tuve grew restless. He leaned back in his seat, laying his hand on the table. His wine glass would slowly slide over to his hand, then it would slowly slide away, without him ever touching it. I'd seen him perform a similar trick with his bowl of soup last week, yet I couldn't help but stare.
"You pretty on edge tonight?"
Tuve asked, glancing at me. I wasn't sure if he caught me watching his trick or not, but I looked down at my plate anyway. I nodded.
A little."
"Yeah, I can tell."
He leaned forward, resting his elbows on the table, and I imagined Allura was livid.
"I'm trying to stay calm."
I stabbed absently at some kind of vegetable I had no intention of eating.
I think I've been handling this very well, considering everything.
No, you're acting fine. I can sense it.
He tapped the side of his head.
I can't explain it, but I know how tense you are.
He chewed his lip.
You project your emotions so forcefully. Your persuasion is immensely powerful.
Maybe, I allowed. His gaze was unnerving, and I didn't want to disagree with him.
Here's a tip. Use it tonight.
Tuve was barely audible over the chatter.
You're trying to please so many people, and it's exhausting. You can't be everything to everyone. So I try not to be anything to anyone. My mother hates me for it, but...
He shrugged.
Just use it a little bit, and you'll charm everyone, without really trying.
It takes effort to use persuasion, I whispered. I could feel Allura listening to us, and I didn't think she'd approve of what we were saying. It would be just as exhausting. Tuve mused, then leaned back in his seat.
Tuve, the Chancellor, was just telling me that you had discussed working for him this spring.
Allura interjected brightly. I barely glanced up at her, but in that second she managed to glower at me before returning to her overly cheery expression.
My mother discussed it,
Tuve corrected her.
I've never said a word to the Chancellor, and I have no interest in the position.
I was increasingly becoming a fan of Tuve, even if he weirded me out and I didn't understand what he meant most of the time. He just said whatever he wanted without fear of repercussion, and I admired it.
I see.
Allura raised an eyebrow, and the Chancellor started saying something about the wine they were drinking. Tuve managed to look bored and irritated the rest of the dinner, chewing his nails and looking at everything except me. There was something very strange and unstable about him. He belonged in this world even less than I did, but I imagined that there really wasn't any place that he'd fit in. Soon we moved on to the ballroom for dancing. The ballroom looked positively magical when it was all done up, and I couldn't help but think of the brief dance I had shared with Finn a couple days before. That, of course, reminded me of the passionate kiss we had shared last night, making me feel weak and sick. I couldn't even force a smile when I thought of Finn. Making matters worse, it soon became clear that dancing was by far the worst experience of the evening. The receiving line had been rough, but now I was being forced to make conversation with one weird man after another while they put their hands on me. Garrett managed to steal a dance with me, and that was a relief. I had been dancing nonstop for an hour because everyone kept cutting in. He complimented me, but not in the creepy perv way everyone else seemed to be going for. Every now and then, I would catch Allura spinning around on the floor, or Willow would sneak me a smile as she twirled around with some foxy young guy. It was unfair that she got to pick who she danced with, but I was stuck with every stranger who asked.
You're probably the most ravishing princess we've ever had,
the Chancellor told me after he cut in for a dance. His pudgy cheeks were red from exertion, and I wanted to suggest that he sit down and take a break, but I thought Allura would disapprove. He held me much closer than was necessary, and his hand was like a massive ham on my back, pressing me to him. I couldn't pull away without making a scene, so I just tried to force a smile. I'm sure that's not true, I demurred. He sweated so badly it had to be bleeding onto my dress. The beautiful silver and white fabric would be stained yellow after this.
No, you really are.
His eyes were wide with some kind of weird pleasure, and I wished someone would hurry up and cut in. We had just started dancing, but I couldn't take much more of this.
In fact, I've never seen anyone more ravishing than you.
Now, that, I'm certain, cannot be true. I glanced around, hoping to spot Willa somewhere so I could try to pawn him off on her.
I know that she'll be expected to start courting soon, And I'd just like you to know that I have a lot of things going for me, the Chancellor went on. I'm very wealthy, very secure, and my bloodline is immaculate. Your mother would approve of this arrangement.
I haven't made any arrangements yet. I craned my neck, knowing that if Alora saw me, she would accuse me of being rude. But I didn't know how else to react. This blubbery man had grabbed my ass during some kind of marriage proposal. I had to get out of there. The Chancellor lowered his voice.
I've been told I'm an excellent lover as well. I'm sure that you don't have any experience, but I could definitely teach you.
His expression grew hungry and his eyes had dropped lower than my face. It was taking all my restraint not to push him off me, and in my head, I screamed to get away from him.
May I cut in?
Tuve appeared at my side. The Chancellor looked disappointed at the sight of him, but before he could say anything, Tuve had put his hand on the Chancellor's shoulder and taken my hand, pulling me away.
Thank you.
I breathed gratefully as we waltzed away from a very confused-looking chancellor.
I heard you calling for help.
Tuve smiled at me.
You seem to be using your persuasion more than you think.
In my mind, I had been begging for a way out, but I hadn't uttered an actual word.
You heard me? I gasped, feeling pale. How many other people heard me?
Probably just me. Don't worry. Hardly anybody can sense anything anymore,
Tuve said.
The Chancellor might have noticed if you hadn't been too busy staring at your chest, or if you were more skilled at it. You'll get the hang of it.
I don't really care if I get the hang of it. I just wanted to get rid of him, I muttered. I'm sorry if I'm wet. I'm probably covered in his sweat.
No, you're fine,
Tuve assured me. We danced the appropriate width apart, so he probably couldn't feel my dress to tell if it was soaked or not. But there was something relaxing about being with him. I didn't have to say anything or worry about being felt up or ogled. He barely looked at me and said nothing else at all. But the silence between us felt completely comfortable. Alora finally interrupted the festivities. The christening ceremony would be happening in 20 minutes, and she noted that I needed a break from all the dancing. The dance floor emptied, and everyone took seats at the tables edging the dance floor, or milled around the refreshments table. I knew that I should sit down while I had the chance, but I was desperate to have a moment to breathe. So I went to a corner, hidden behind extra chairs, and leaned against the wall.
Who are you hiding from?
Rhys teased, finding me in the corner. Dressed in a flashy tux, he looked dashing as he sauntered over to me, grinning. Everyone, I smiled at him. You look really good.
Funny, I was just going to tell you the same thing.
Rhys stood next to me, putting his hands in his pockets and smiling even wider.
Although good doesn't even begin to do you justice. You look otherworldly. Like nothing else here can even compare to you.
It's the dress. I looked down, hoping to keep my cheeks from blushing. That Frederic is amazing.
The dress is nice, but trust me, you make the dress.
Gently, he reached over and fixed a wayward curl that had fallen out of place. He let his hand linger there a minute, his eyes meeting mine, then dropped his hand.
So, having fun yet?
Rhys asked. A blast, I smirked. What about you?
I can't dance with the princess, so I'm a little bitter,
he said with a sad smile. Why can't you dance with me? I would have loved to dance with him. It would have been a blessed reprieve after everything I'd been through tonight.
Manx,
he pointed his thumbs at himself.
I'm lucky I'm even allowed in.
Oh. I looked down at the floor, thinking about what he'd just said. Not to sound rude or anything, because I'm glad you're here, but why are you here? Why aren't you banned or something equally ridiculous?
Didn't you know?
Rhys asked with a cocky grin. I am the highest Manx in the land. And why is that? I couldn't tell if he was teasing me or not, so I tilted my head, watching as his expression got more serious.
Because I'm yours, he replied softly.
He was invited because he was my mainskleek, my opposite. But when he answered, that wasn't what he meant at all. Something in his eyes made me blush for real this time, and I smiled sadly at him. One of Alora's aides burst into the corner, ruining what was left of the moment, and demanded that I take my seat at the head table with the queen. The christening ceremony was about to start, and a knot formed in my stomach. I hadn't heard what my name was to be, and I was depressed about the idea of changing it. Duty calls. I smiled apologetically at Rhys and started to walk past him. Hey, Rhys grabbed my hand to stop me, and I turned to look at him.
You're gonna be great. Everyone's raving about you.
Thanks. I squeezed his hand gratefully. A cracking echoed through the room, followed by a tinkling that I didn't understand. The sound was coming from everywhere, so it was hard to place right away. But then, it looked like the ceiling was raining glitter, and the skylights crashed to the floor. Chapter 22. Falling. Rhys realized what was happening before I did, and still holding my hand, he yanked me behind him. We were in the corner, out of the way of most of the glass, but from the agonized screams, I gathered that everyone else wasn't so lucky. Dark figures fell through the broken skylights, landing on the floor with surprising grace. Blood and broken glass layered the floor. Before I recognized them, I remembered the uniform. Matching long black trench coats, like a crime-fighting team. The words seemed to swell through the room without anybody saying anything. Vitray. Vitray had broken in, crashing through the ceiling, and Trill guards circled them. In the very center, I saw Jen, the tracker who had been so fond of hitting me, his eyes scanning the room.
You are not invited. Please leave.
Alora's voice boomed above everything else.
You know what we want, and we're not leaving until we get it.
Kira stepped forward, Jen's accomplice from before. She walked on the glass with bare feet, but didn't seem to notice.
She's got to be here. Where are you hiding her?
Jen turned toward me, and his black eyes met mine over Rhys's shoulder. When he grinned wickedly, Rhys realized we were in trouble. He started to push me toward the door, but before we made it, Jen bolted toward us, and everyone burst into life. The Vitray scrambled, going after the guards and other Trill. Alora glared at Kira, who collapsed on the ground, writhing in pain. Nobody had touched her, and based on the look in Alora's eyes, I figured that Kira's agony had something to do with Alora's abilities. I saw Tuve bound over the table he was sitting at, using his powers to send Vitray flying without even touching them. People screamed, and I felt a strong wind blow through the room, surely Willa's attempt at helping. Then Jen was in front of us, blocking out the chaos of the ballroom. Rhys stood his ground in front of me. He moved to defend me in some way, but Jen lunged forward and punched him, throwing him to the ground.
Rhys!
I reached out for Rhys, but he didn't move. I wanted to make sure he wasn't dead, but Jen grabbed me around my waist, restraining me.
That's what you have protecting you now? Jen laughed. Did we scare off Finn? Let go of me!
I kicked at him and tried to pry his arm off me. With his arm still gripping me, we both abruptly went flying backward, as if someone had pushed him. He slammed into the wall, and his arm loosened enough that I could scramble away from him on my hands and knees. Dazed, I got to my feet and tried to figure out what had happened. Tuve stood on the other side of a glass-strewn table, holding his hand, palm out, at Jen. I smiled appreciatively at him, but my smile disappeared as soon as I got a look at the room. The Vitrae clearly had the upper hand. Even though the Trill in the room outnumbered the Vitrae attackers, most of them weren't fighting back. The trackers were throwing punches and pushing back against the Vitrae, but most of the royalty appeared to do little more than cower in fear. A visiting Trill on the other side of the room had begun using fire, and I could feel Willa's wind whipping about. Garrett had no real powers of his own, but he was attempting hand-to-hand combat with the Vitrae, even though they physically appeared to be much stronger. Other than Tuve, Willa, Alora, and the Trill using fire, none of the other Trill really seemed to have abilities, or at least they weren't using them. The room was total pandemonium, and it was about to get worse. Even more Vitrae streamed in through the ceiling.
"This is why you need to work on your persuasion."
Tuve looked at me evenly, and another Vitrae charged at his back. "Watch out!" I yelled. Tuve turned, throwing his hand back and tossing the Vitrae across the room. I looked around to grab a weapon when I felt Jen's arms around my waist again. I yelled and fought as hard as I could, but his arms felt like granite around me. Tuve turned his attention back to me, but two other Vitrae chased after him, so he only had a moment to send Jen flying back into the wall again. We hit even harder this time, and it jostled me painfully, but Jen let go. My head throbbed from the impact, and I blinked to clear it. A hand took mine, helping me to my feet. I wasn't sure if I should accept it, but I did anyway.
"You've got to be more careful, Tuve," he said.
"I was just trying to get her free,"
Tuve snapped. And another Vitrae yelled as Tuve sent him flying into a table across the room.
"And I'm busy here."
I turned back to see who had helped me, and all the air went out of my lungs. Wearing a black hoodie under a black jacket, Finn surveyed the mess around me. He stood right next to me, holding my hand, and I couldn't think or move.
"Finn,"
I gasped, and he finally looked at me, his dark eyes a mixture of relief and panic.
"This is bedlam,"
Tuve growled. A table had been flipped on its side, and it separated Tuve from Finn and me. Using his abilities, Tuve sent it sailing into a Vitrae attacking the Chancellor, and then he rushed over to us. All the Vitrae seemed to be busy, so he had a moment to catch his breath.
"It's worse than I thought,"
Finn pursed his lips.
"We've got to protect the princess,"
Tuve said. I squeezed Finn's hand and watched as Jen started to get up, only to be slammed back into the wall by Tuve.
"I'll get her out of here,"
Finn said.
"Can you handle it down here?"
"I don't have a choice."
Tuve barely had time to answer when Willa started screaming across the room. I couldn't see her, and that scared me even more.
"Willa!"
I tried to run to see what was happening, but Finn wrapped his arms around me, pulling me back.
"Get her out of here,"
Tuve commanded as he took a step in the direction of Willa's screams. Finn started dragging me out of the ballroom while I strained to see what was going on. Tuve had disappeared, and I couldn't see Alora or Willa. As Finn pulled me, my feet hit Reese's leg, and I remembered that he was lying unconscious, bleeding on the ground. I struggled against Finn's arms, trying to reach Reese.
"He's fine. They won't touch him,"
Finn tried to reassure me. He still had one arm around my waist, and he was much stronger than me.
"You've got to get out of here."
"But Reese,"
I pleaded.
"He'd want you to be safe,"
Finn insisted, and finally managed to get me to the ballroom doors. I looked up from Reese and was stunned to see the chaos of the room. Then, all the chandeliers suddenly crashed to the floor, and the only light came from the things that were in flames. People were screaming and yelling, and the sound was echoing off everything.
"The painting,"
I murmured, and my mind flashed on the picture I'd seen in Alora's drawing room. This was it. This was the exact scene. And there was nothing I could have done to prevent it. I couldn't even understand it until it was too late.
"Wendy!"
Finn shouted, trying to move me into action. He let go of my waist and took my hand, yanking me out of the room. Using my free hand, I pulled up my dress to keep from tripping on it as we raced down the hallway. I could still hear the carnage from the ballroom, and I had no idea where we were running to. I didn't have time to ask him where we were going or to feel thankful that I was with him again. My only consolation was that if I died tonight, I'd at least have spent the last few minutes of my life with Finn. We rounded the corner toward the entryway, and Finn stopped sharply. 3 vitrae were coming in the front doors of the palace, but they hadn't seen us yet. Finn changed direction, darting across the hall into one of the sitting rooms, pulling me with him. He closed the door quietly behind us, leaving us in near darkness. Moonlight spilled in through the glass, and he ran to a corner between a bookcase and the wall. He pulled me tightly to him, shielding me with his body. We could hear the vitrae outside. I held my breath, pressing my face into Finn's chest and praying they wouldn't come in the room. When they finally ran past, Finn still didn't loosen his grip on me, but I could hear his heartbeat slow. Somewhere beneath all my panic and fear, I became aware of the fact that Finn held me tightly in his arms. I looked up at him, barely able to make out his features in the light from the windows next to us. "I saw that before," I whispered, looking up at him. "What happened in the ballroom? Alora painted it. She knew that was going to happen." "Shh," Finn said gently. I lowered my voice. "But why didn't she stop it?"
"She didn't know when it would happen or how," Finn explained. "She just knew. And the only thing she could do to prevent it was to add more protection."
"So then why did you leave?" I asked softly.
"Wendy."
He pushed back stray curls from my face, and his hand lingered on my cheek as he looked down at me.
"I never really left. I was just down the hill, and I never stopped tracking you. I knew what was happening as soon as you did, and I raced back here."
"Are we gonna be okay?" I asked.
"I won't let anything happen to you. I promise."
I looked up at him, searching his eyes in the dim light, and I wanted nothing more than to stay in his arms forever. The door creaked open, and Finn tensed instantly. He pushed me back against the wall, wrapping his arms around me to hide me. I held my breath and tried to stop my heart from pounding. We heard nothing for a second, and then the light flicked on.
"Well, well, if the prodigal stork hasn't returned," Jen smirked.
"You won't get her,"
Finn said firmly. He pulled away from me just enough so he could face Jen. I peered around him, watching Jen walk in a slow semicircle toward us. He walked in an oddly familiar way, like something I had seen on Animal Planet. And then I realized Jen was stalking his prey.
"Maybe I won't," Jen allowed. "But getting you out of my way would probably make it easier. If not for me, then for somebody else. Because we won't stop coming for her. And we won't stop protecting her." "You're willing to die to protect her?"
Jen raised an eyebrow.
"You're willing to die to get her?"
Finn challenged evenly. In the ballroom, Tuve had insisted they had to protect me, and I hadn't thought he even cared for me all that much. Was it just that I was the princess? Had Alora endured similar attacks when she first came home? I clenched the back of Finn's jacket and watched the two of them stare each other down. I didn't understand what was so damn important about me that so many vitrae were willing to kill. And, according to Finn, so many Trill were willing to die. "Neither one of you has to die," I said. I tried to slip around Finn's arm, but he pushed me back. "I'll go, okay? I don't want anybody else to get hurt over this."
"Why don't you listen to the girl?"
Jen suggested, wagging his eyebrows.
"Not this time. Suit yourself."
Jen had apparently tired of talking and dove at Finn. Finn was wrenched from my fingertips, and I screamed his name. They both went flying through the glass out onto the balcony, sending shards flying everywhere. I was barefoot, but I ran forward without regard. Jen managed to land a few good blows, but Finn was much quicker and seemed to be stronger. When Finn hit him, Jen staggered back several feet.
You've been working out.
Jen wiped fresh blood from his chin.
You could give up now, and I wouldn't think any less of you,
Finn said.
Nice try.
Jen lunged forward, kicking Finn in the stomach, but Finn held his own. I grabbed a giant shard of glass from off the balcony and moved around them, trying to find an opening to attack. I managed to slice open a finger, but I barely noticed. Jen knocked Finn to the balcony floor. He pounced on top of him and started hitting him in the face. Using all my might, I stabbed the glass into his back.
Ow!
Jen shouted, but he sounded more irritated than wounded. I stood behind him, panting. That was not the reaction I had expected, and I didn't know what to do. Jen whirled around, smacking me so hard across the face that I went flying to the edge of the balcony. I only had a moment to notice the dizzying drop below as my head hung over the edge, and then I was scrambling to my feet and gripping the railing. Finn had already regained his feet and knocked Jen back down. Kicking him as hard as he could, Finn growled through gritted teeth.
Don't ever touch her again.
When Finn tried to kick him again, Jen grabbed his foot and yanked him back to the floor. I heard the sound of Finn's head cracking against the heavy concrete of the balcony. He withstood the blow, but it stunned him long enough for Jen to bend over and wrap his hands around Finn's throat. He lifted Finn off the floor by his neck. I jumped on Jen's back, which wasn't as smart as I thought it would be, because Jen had the giant shard of glass sticking out of him. The glass cut through my dress and my side without actually impaling me. It was enough to make me bleed and hurt, but not enough to kill.
Get off!
Jen growled, then jerked his arm back, elbowing me hard in the stomach and knocking me off him. I landed on my feet, but Jen already had Finn pressed back over the railing. The top half of Finn's body dangled over the edge, and if Jen let go, Finn would plummet to his death hundreds of feet below. For a moment, I couldn't breathe or move. All I could see was the painting of me. The broken shards of glass glinting in the moonlight. My beautiful dress, which appeared stark white by the light of the moon, with the slit of blood in the side. The vast darkness that went on beyond the balcony, and the horrified look on my face as I reached for it. Stop! I pleaded, tears streaming down my face. I'll go with you. Please, just let go of him. Please. Jen laughed.
I hate to break it to you, princess, but you're going with me either way. Not if I can help.
Finn barely managed to speak through Jen's hand clamped on his throat. Finn kicked his leg up, planting it squarely between Jen's legs, and Jen groaned, but didn't loosen his grip on Finn. Keeping his leg there, Finn started tilting backward. Jen realized what he was doing, but Finn had reached forward and grabbed Jen's jacket. He had changed the weight ratio, and in a moment that felt oddly slow motion, Finn went backward over the railing, pulling Jen with him.
No!
I screamed and lunged toward them. I landed on my belly, sliding across the balcony with my hand outstretched, grabbing at empty air. Chapter 23. Aftermath. As soon as I reached the railing, Finn floated up, coughing hoarsely. I gaped at him, too shocked to believe he was real. He drifted over the top of the railing, then dropped heavily onto the balcony. Lying on his back, he coughed again, and I rushed to his side, kneeling next to him. I touched his face, checking to make sure he was real, and his skin felt soft and warm under my hands.
That was quite the gamble,
Tuve remarked from behind me, and I turned to look at him. Tuve had lost his blazer, and his white shirt looked slightly burned and bloody. Other than that, he didn't look that bad as he took a step toward us.
Ah, you always come through,
Finn said. and I realized that when Finn had gone over the balcony, Tuve had used his power to catch him and lift him back up, setting him down safely. I went back to staring down at Finn, unable to believe that he was alive and here with me again. My hand was on his chest above his heart, so I could feel it pounding. He placed his hand over mine, holding it gently. But he looked past me at Tuve.
"What's going on in there?"
Finn asked Tuve and nodded to the house.
"They're retreating."
Tuve stood over us.
"A lot of people were hurt, but Aurora is working on them. My father broke a few ribs, but he'll live. Unfortunately, that's more than I can say for some of the Trill." "Did we lose a lot of people?"
Finn asked, his expression grim.
"I can't say yet for sure, but we lost a few."
Tuve grimaced.
"But we could have avoided that completely if the Marquis and Marxina would learn to fight. They leave all of their protection in the hands of the Trackers. But if the royalty would just get their hands dirty, they could have..."
He shook his head.
"Nobody needed to die today."
Finn pressed his lips together grimly, then looked at me.
"What happened? Are you hurt?"
His hand went to my side, where I bled all over my dress. I winced under his touch, but shook my head. "It's nothing. I'm fine."
"Have my mother look at it. She'll patch you both up,"
Tuve said. When I gave him a confused look, he went on.
"Aurora's a healer. She can touch you and fix you. That's her ability. Come on."
Finn gave me a shaky smile and slowly sat up. He tried to act like he was perfectly fine, but he had taken quite a beating, and there was hesitation in his movements. Tuve helped him to his feet, then took my hand and pulled me up. I wrapped my arm around Finn's waist, and Finn put his arm around my shoulders, reluctantly putting some of his weight on me. We walked carefully through the broken glass back into the house, and Tuve gave more details about the attack. Other than the Trackers who had been guarding, most of the Trill had played defenseless, myself included. The Vitrae might not have as many abilities, but they had mastered physical combat much better than the Trill. Thankfully, a few of the Trill, like Tuve and Alora, were strong enough and smart enough to fight back. What they lacked in physical prowess, they made up for in overwhelming abilities. But Tuve was quick to point out that if all the Trill had stood up and used what abilities they had, no matter how weak, or simply fought back with their fists, the Vitrae would have hardly stood a chance. "We should have won this without any deaths and hardly any injuries." The Trill royals had grown too complacent, to the point where they believed that defending themselves was beneath them. They'd become too focused on social class to realize that they needed to handle some things themselves, instead